Luke chapter 3, verse 9. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. We talked a lot about fire yesterday. I don't know that I want to talk any more about it. Anybody have any thoughts or questions about fire? You understand there's a baptism of fire that everyone must go through. And only that which came from eternity can pass through that fire. All right, well, that's enough for fire then. There's all kinds of scriptures in Ezekiel about the world being on fire. It doesn't make any sense unless you understand that fire is just oxidation and everything is denigrated. All right. Anybody? Anybody understand perfectly? I forgot what you didn't understand yesterday, John. Huh?
Talking about pretty well.
Oh, that's right.
And just as a footnote to that, an interesting thing happened when I was running last night. I was thinking about it, and I had to chuckle because I can't stand on either side. I can't stand as I can't accept that I have free will, or I can't accept that I don't have free will. Neither side makes sense.
We can stop thinking about it.
That's what wives say to husbands.
Think too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's many scriptures.
I mean, it's not an earth-shattering thing that's causing me to despair. I just it's just a conundrum. It's just something that I
just go to one scripture. Go to Isaiah 26.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to.
No, I will just spend a minute on it.
Okay.
Always interrupt.
I mean, I can't accept the fact that I have free will, and I can't accept the fact that I don't.
There are third options.
26, starting in verse 10. Let favor be shown to the wicked, or the wicked one, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and I will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Now the wicked one is obviously, from everything we've studied, is your brain. And everything you're trying to understand with your brain doesn't work. When thy hand is lifted up, they will not see it, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt or hast ordained peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Now think about that. All our works, everything we've ever done, is wrought in us. No matter what illusion we had of what was happening. Anybody buy that?
It has to include your struggle with free will.
Of course. He's wrought all our works in us.
Our picadillos.
Our weirdness. Yeah. All right. Lord, thou wilt or hast ordained peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. And there's a jillion of them. All the things in your mind, everything you've ever thought. All our other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But now by thee only will we make mention of thy name. You understand what that means? By thee only we will make mention of thy name? That sounds like a weird construction. But it says, everything that we used to ascribe to all these other lords, now by him only will we make mention of his name in all of those arenas. There's nothing that wasn't of him. Well, this is really going to piss off people. Because they've got, in their own eyes, they've got a jillion things that they've done wrong. They did wrong, that's good old. That they've done wrong, or mistakes, or whatever, and there's no way in hell that they'll ever believe that that was God. And of course, then, especially when you look around and see what others have done, you cannot possibly believe that was God. Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but now by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Then it gets better. They are dead. They shall not rise. Therefore thou hast visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. And all our memory of them. You don't even consider it anymore. That's why you make no reference to your past. It's just blah. Can you see that in what that means in connection with whether you believe in free will or not? You have to believe in free will if you have self-consciousness. If you're at the cusp between not believing it and not understanding the other one either, that's the good sign. That's the good place, because it puts you in a position of weakness. Is that enough on free will?
Yeah, it's done.
Well, it's not just for you. Your question.
I thought you were looking at me.
Huh?
I thought you were looking at me and asking me.
No, I'm talking about everybody. Isn't it comforting to think you have free will? Man, then I can control my future. What?
Well, you can believe it if you want to, but it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah.
People with free, with quote unquote unfree will that can do what they want to. So.
No, it's just an illusion.
It's one that the mind needs to entertain.
All right. Verse 10. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? We're talking about everything is cut down, all the trees, all the human race. And then he does an interesting thing. He answered and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that has food, let him do likewise. Now, this word for coat here is chiton, chiton. And it's the vest or the inner garment that they wore under the robe or the cloak. And the cloak or the outer garment, the more expensive one, is himation is what it's pronounced. Now, this is important because it shows us something if we can see it. So let's go to Matthew 5. So you understand, here it says him that has two of these relatively inexpensive undergarments, if he has two, if somebody doesn't have any, give him one. Okay? Now we're going to get the one that it's always confusing to everybody if we can find it. See, my if I ever complained about my pages of my Bible sticking together?
Never.
Matthew 5. Verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the law. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. Resist not the one who's harming you. But whosoever will smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, let's set that aside here. You know the dominionists, the people like Pat Robertson and others who think that we have to take over the government and take over the school system and take over everything. When you read the writings of, I can't remember his name, he's got a weird name, of the father of that dominion movement, he says this about this scripture. It says, whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. He says so that was for the dispensation of that era back with Christ. But now, whosoever smites you, beat the hell out of him. Now, I just wanted to see how people twist scripture. But that's not what we're studying. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now, since coat is that inner garment, and this is a thing of law, do you understand? This is important. If he's suing you at law and he takes away thy coat, this inner garment, the relatively inexpensive one, give him your cloak also. Whosoever compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. What's the idea here? You never seek justice for yourself. It's gone. So if it's at law, and the law said, give me your coat, the inner garment, you give him the cloak also, the outer garment, the more expensive outer garment. And that's an attitude or a state of mind that has nothing to do with the way the fallen mind works. It's not a to-do, it's a what is. If you don't do that as an automatic, then my God, the evil one has resurrected himself from a deadly head wound. The minute you protect any aspect of you or yours, then it's the evil one is in play. The minute you're concerned about your future or yours, the evil one is back in play. All right? Everybody got that? Now, this you don't like, I promise you, nobody will like this one either. Because everything about life has to be protecting. A little bit. Let's go to another one here. Let's go to John 19. No, let's go to Luke 6 first. We're looking at coats and cloaks and seeing what we can understand about it. This was fascinating to me. I don't know if anybody else finds it interesting or not. But.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how you about being concerned for the future. Go ahead, be concerned. Doesn't matter. One way or another, you end up in the same place. You're going to die. You can contemplate that day.
No, it means much more than that, Gary. It has to mean that if you see your concern for the future, if you say you're a follower of him, then repentance is the only response. Not to go ahead and do it.
When you say take everything thought to the end,
what?
You say take every thought to its conclusion.
Right. But if you've said to yourself, Father, I'm yours without condition, if that's what your position is, then there can be no other response if you find you're not doing it other than repentance. You can't continue doing it. You can't continue in sin that grace may abound.
That's not what I was doing. What was I saying? I was saying if you want to contemplate it, go ahead and see where you end up. You end up at the point where you can't do anything about it one way or another, and that's where repentance is. Otherwise, you're trying to stop the evil, I guess resisting evil. So don't resist it. Just take the thought to its conclusion. Don't do it every day, that would be stupid, but isn't that what you taught that all along? I don't see any difference there.
Well, the only difference is, if I find myself being concerned about anything, I say, Father, forgive me. And that, to me, that's the automatic. Rebuilding the thing and taking it to the, you know, so you have to go through all that stuff again, it just seems silly. Because it means you haven't seen you haven't repented from all of self anyway. This is, you've got to see, here's this whole thing that we talked about with regard to the days of awe. There has to be the fear of God here, because if the next instant, the next second, maybe you may be on the judgment seat with, and you, there's no excuse, because if you're not continually in repentance, then you're the garment is spotted by the flesh, and so there can't be any. For me, anyway, I'm just saying for me, and I think for everybody, but that's another story. If there's a second when I'm aware of myself for any reason, then the garment's spotted by the flesh. So the instant response, because of the fear of God, is repentance. There's no... And I think that has to be true for everyone. Because you already know. I mean, my God, each person here knows the futility and emptiness of self-realization. So you don't have to repeat it over and over again. There has to be a place of repentance that's instantaneous and automatic. Again, thinking about it is continuing in sin. Well, you continue in sin, that grace may abound. God forbid.
But you can't have it both ways here.
I'm not having it both ways.
Well, I think you are, because you've told many times, if there's something you have to do, go do it.
That's right.
And if there's a thought you have to think, then think it.
Right, but
so
my point to you...
come to the end, though, let me make a point. You come to the end, and then repentance is not something you struggle with. Repentance is automatic. You've seen the foolishness of it, and you repent, and you don't have to think about it tomorrow or the next day.
I'm talking
to these exact things.
No, I'm talking to. I was talking. That's what children do. We encourage everybody to. If you've got anything that you think you have to do, or anything you think you want, run after it quickly. But I'm talking to the body here. My God, is there anyone here that doesn't realize the emptiness and futility of human effort, the stupidity of their thoughts? That's my position now. Children have to go, and I don't care how old you are. If you're still thinking that, I got these thoughts that's going to take me to wherever, or if there's something I've got to do, well, then that means you're still a child spiritually, and that's a whole other world. But here, there is no excuse for not repentance instantly. Am I communicating at all?
Well, yes and no. I have to say, think about a child. I suspect there are many ways I must still be a child. and there are many ways I'm not a child, I'm a young man. There's many ways I'm the father. And I seem to inhabit all positions. It just depends on what God is doing, I'd have to say. If he wrought...
But God already did it.
If he wrought everything in me and still does, then how can you get around that?
Let's go to Galatians 2.
There are probably many people listening. Okay,
go to Galatians 2. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might end up being justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore God the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I build again, whether it's mentally, or physically, or in imaginations, if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself the transgressor. And this thing, again, hear the words of verse 17. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is God, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And there can't be, there has to be a vengeance here to, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
Go to where?
Huh?
Go to where?
2 Corinthians chapter 10, I think. Yeah. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing or place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience once your obedience is fulfilled. Once you can confess that I am dead, I am crucified with Christ, then there is never from that point on an excuse to build again the things that you've destroyed. There has to be the zeal to revenge that disobedience instantly. Because if I say that, well, I'm waiting for Christ to do something, or waiting for the Holy Spirit to do something, or waiting for God to do something, he's already done it. So the warfare is the revenging that disobedience. But there has to be a readiness to revenge instantly. Amen?
Amen.
And what you were talking about, as I understood it, and maybe just the paucity of words, that you were saying that even now you still have to go through and wait for God to do something. He's already done it.
No, it's not.
I know, that's what I heard, though.
Okay, yeah. If there's anything going on there, if you're waiting, that it be revealed what he's already done, that would be a position of waiting, not waiting for him to do it.
The word is already, this word about the word has stated that it's already been done. It's already finished. The warfare is over. So there's nothing left to reveal.
I mean, if you don't see it, that's what we're talking about. Isn't that? That would be the...
Well, then, my God, you gotta stop everything until you see that. Because that place your very soul in danger. Because somehow you are saying that it's justified to let the garment be spotted by the flesh. Let's look at one more in the same regard. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, that's an idiom in Jewish culture for instant. It could come at any instant. In the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation, manner of life, and godliness, right thinking, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And that has to be an instant thing. This is what I'm talking about that's the whole purpose of the days of awe and what we've gone through now between you got to see that you have to live your life as though the next second was the judgment seat. And again, God doesn't give a holy rat's ass what religion what goes on outwardly. The only thing he cares is what is going on inside you. Is the ordinance, are the services of the temple, which were revealed in the flesh in Israel, is that order of the temple going on in you? You see that there was a sin offering, which wasn't for what you do, it's for who you are. And then you see the trespass offering that covers the screw-ups that you make, so that you're always there and the blood of Christ always cleanses you, but only if there's repentance. And it has to be, and that's instantaneous. Amen? So you can't excuse the machinations of the mind for any reason. That's the reason we're in this season of the days of awe. This is, now again, we're going to see the great statement. When the lulav was the thing that was beat against, the altar that it symbolized everything in this world. It says, when you tie the lulav, tie your boat. Now that's an idiom for any other thing other than the eternal now.
Tie your lulav.
Tie your boat.
Okay.
So that, man, and that means tie the boat of your mind, tie the boat of your physicality, tie the boat.
Yeah, too.
I'm going to repeat this, these feasts. They're so important because they give us a way to apprehend with physicality, if you will, the mystery of God. In the end, it's all over on the Feast of Tabernacles on the eighth day. We're celebrating Saturday night. It's over. It's done. Amen.
Amen.
I did it again, didn't I? I went on a rant. I feel better when I go on rants. I get an endorphin rush or something.
Sit in front of you all day long.
No, and I begin. See, this is why, I mean, the interchange between Gary and I is critical, because he has the guts to say stuff, whatever's there, but most people don't. And I told everybody here that it was boring to teach unless you were here.
Holy grail on all of us while you were gone. Pretty boring.
You were missed.
Take it, big guy.
Replaced by an eyeglass case.
Yeah, really.